Loving God, thank you for your peace and your mercy that exceed our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
He's doing a lot of, like, in Jesus' name.
He's making it clear.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like, I feel stupid saying in Jesus' name. And I feel like my Jew comes out when I do that. Is it true? No?
The man died, rose again, allowed himself to get tortured for us. No, I don't think it's stupid.
Okay, fine.
Hello, everybody. We are later on going to talk about Last Comic Standing, how it debuted last night. So if you're new to the show, you might want to hear our anniversary show, 233, called One Year Down, where we talk about how I stood in line for Last Comic Standing, just to make sure everybody's caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a recommendation.
Right.
Anyways, yesterday, poker night.
I call it Win Keith Malley's Money Night. You ever seen the show Win Ben Stein's Money? Right. That's what these poker tournaments are all about. I just checked our Keith and the Girl bank account, and I'm like, what are these weird withdrawals? Apparently, Keith likes to put more money than he needs to into the poker tournament. Because this is your logic, right? Okay, here it is. He's like, oh, I could put another $5 in because in another hour, I'll just win it back.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, $50 in.
Right.
You're out.
You join these poker things. Next one is this Friday. And for $5.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy in for the first hour as much as you want.
Right.
So,
is fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And to me, it's only $5. So, it's a party to me. Not that I even have this money, but I'm like, five for you, all in. You going to take me up on it? All right, good call. You won that. Buy in. So I just keep buying in. And what upset me so much on Tuesday's game is that I buy in so much until I'm down to $6. You could rebuy. You can rebuy for $5, or
right.
You can double rebuy for $10. I know I only have $6. I probably have at least $50 in there, right? But I go, why don't I hit double rebuy just to see what happens? Does it say, no, you don't have funds? Does a big X come out? You know, it's our poker game. I want to see what happens.
Does a little smurf come and do a dance and
right.
go, wah, wah?
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't. What happens if you pick that and you don't have $10, you're out of the game. I was so mad.
And then he forgets to inform me that he actually took $100
right.
into our poker account. And I'm like, that's interesting. I know these two things got moved, but what's this extra $100? And I'm now, you know, when I check my bank account, I think like everybody else, I'm just checking for how the bank fucked up, you know?
Right.
So here I am like, these motherfuckers took another $100. And Keith's like, I may have done that. I didn't mean to, though. What I meant to do was take it out of my account.
No, that was true.
But, you know, it doesn't matter. The whole point of this is to, you know, kind of have fun. And
right.
But, yeah, you can win Keith Malley's money by joining our tournament at 10 p.m. All the information that you need is on our forums. It's this Friday. And the thing about this Friday that's going to be extra fun is not only Keith going to go in for all in 5 million times. Do you know that now, when we play, they call the all-in the Keith Malley.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not at the table, do a Keith Malley. Yeah, Keith Malley loves that all-in button.
It's a party.
Oh, yeah, it's a party. Because he's got his 40. As long as Keith Malley has his 40, it's a party.
They're going to ask me. And I'm not turning on the webcam.
Do you know that people invite me to do things, and they're like, is Keith coming? And I'm like, no. And then, you know, people are going to start taking it personally. So I have to come up with a reason. Usually I come up with a reason. From now on, I swear, I started saying this. Keith doesn't like leaving the house.
Right. It's true.
Which is so true. You have to be so special. So this Saturday, because it starts at 10 p.m. and our live show is later on at midnight
this Friday.
Keith is going to be playing. I have to be at my mother's house for dinner. But he's going to be playing at 10. The poker tournament is probably not going to be over. We're going to start the live show, and he's going to keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
If he's still in by then.
Oh, snap.
Snap-a-doodle-doo.
I'm taking all my fucking money back. And other people.
That's his ultimate plan. It's his ultimate plan. It doesn't matter how much money I'm in deep, because I'm going to take it all back this Friday.
There weren't that many people playing, and for $5... First place was $175.
50 of which is yours.
Yeah. Second was $105.
Oh, my God.
Third was $70. You make real money.
Holy
for
shit.
$5.
You just have to be the one steady guy who's not a dick.
Right.
Everyone's an animal. Apparently, it's a big party all around. Mm-hmm. And people are on the chat while this is going on, right? We have Keith and the girl chat. So it is a party, actually.
Sometimes we'll do a special show.
Oh, yeah. Keith decided, look, we actually sometimes decide to just turn on our mics randomly.
Right. Coconut called into the show, the pervert we were talking to. Yeah. You hear his dad in the background. So, yes, I believe he's 19 and lives at home. He was the big winner. He won first place. So all you people that debated if you were going to come, congratulations.
Good for him. Whatever.
Good for him.
We established that he's not a pervert anymore.
And he won $175, donated $100 to Keith and the girl.
Lovely.
Thank you, pervert.
Thank you.
And he still has $75 for candy and balloons. So, who lost that day? I don't know. But make sure you join Friday, 10 p.m. We took a phone call also from this. I was talking about, I forget where I was. Why I'm thinking Connecticut, I don't know. But fairly recently. We were somewhere and you were in a store or something. Oh, no, I went and I was killing time. I was in Connecticut doing a job, one of the jobs recently, a clown job. And I'm sitting there eating. I was so hungry. I ate after the job. So I'm in the car eating my deli sandwich, you know, before I get on the highway. And right in front of me where I parked is a guy in a wheelchair, no legs, barely hands. He has those arms.
In Connecticut?
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere now. Like if you make a fist, that's the end of your arm, like a nub.
Oh, okay? Nub, okay.
Right, and then there's a little, there's a word for it, nub. Which, by the way, remember when I said, I don't like that I can't use the word faggot. What do you call somebody that's sissy? And Annie on the chat room said, how about the word sissy? Well, yeah, I'm glad they have a word for that.
I love Annie.
I like this hamburger. I wish they had a name for it. How can I tell people what I'm eating? So this guy has this nub and like a little smaller nub that's kind of like the thumb and he can move it, but it's a complete circle. Like it's not whatever the shape of a thumb is, oval, I guess.
So it's as if your fist is closed and your thumb is in your hand and your thumb is in your fingers and you could move the thumb.
Right.
So you're extra creepy.
So he's a torso. Two arms with these nub hands and a head, and he uses his nub hands to smoke a cigarette. And I'm like, why not? Why not?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was funny. So I was telling that
story. I would use it to smoke a joint.
Right.
But, and when a cop bothered me, I would say that it's illegal and point to my non-legs.
I have a story about the cop. This dude called in from Washington. I believe D.C. I don't know why I thought that. Anyway, he's from a small town, or so maybe a suburb of Washington. I'm not sure. I don't know how the place is set up. Anyways, this guy that he knows, he's not friends with him, but
that
knows
you're
him.
Talking to?
No. Sorry. Oh. Just this guy. No, he's just a guy. Okay. So he's telling the story about this other guy who's in a wheelchair, doesn't have legs, uses sticks to drive a car.
Yikes.
Holds sticks with his knobs or his hands. Drives a car. When a police cop pulls him over for...
Wait, what does he use to hold the wheel? Chin?
I don't know if his chin or his hand also.
Okay.
But you only need one stick.
Because you only need one leg. That's true.
Right.
Okay. But you're supposed to have two hands on the wheel.
And a foot ready at all times. Right.
So he's on his cell phone and the cop pulls him over.
So the cop pulls him over and he shows the cop like what his ass would be. And that there's this huge blister boil mess growing there. It's so nasty that the cop says, okay, and takes him to the closest ER. He goes to the ER. They admit him. He sneaks out the back, and he does this every time he's pulled over.
Nice!
Yeah, and they know it. And the hospitals know it, and they just let him do it because they feel bad for him.
Wow.
You know, they're probably like, do you want cream for that? Please, that's my meal ticket.
Oh, my... We found a cure. No thanks.
Right. You can't even, you know, you don't have legs to get in your way and you won't even allow yourself to sit comfortably. Like, you must sit so comfortably.
Holy
with no
shit.
Legs. But no, I just thought it was very, very funny. He sneaks out of the ER and they let him.
Well, whatever, if that's your thing. But what is he getting pulled over for? Every time for being a cripple?
Yeah, they could see, I guess, you're driving with sticks.
But somebody hooked him up with those sticks.
I think he did it. No, it's like sticks, like regular. The door closed. Like, by the way, if we can get into this for a second.
Oh, no.
Hemda gets scared all the time.
I don't get scared. It's that
she thinks
I get alarmed.
Alarmed.
The word is alarmed.
I will talk. She will be in the bathroom. I was talking to you the whole time. As I'm walking towards the bathroom, she will turn her head and see me and get scared. Where was the voice coming from that got closer and closer?
No. What you will do is you will talk in the room, and then all of a sudden, you're right next to me. And yes, I'm alarmed. And you know what Keith says?
It's so ridiculous.
You know what Keith says? He goes, what did your ex-boyfriends do to you?
Mm-hmm. Something happened. We'll find out later. Something happened.
I'll tell you a little secret. I haven't told you yet about the new setup.
I touch you. I'll sit next to you on the couch watching TV. And I'm not being a dick like during a scary part and scaring her. I just touch her. Okay. That should not concern me.
I just get alarmed. But here's the thing about the new setup. You know, we moved rooms. We moved our bedroom into studio into the bedroom. And now my back, you know, my back was facing the door anyway in the old room also. For some reason, I'm freaked out by this new setup. I never told you that. Halfway through a show sometimes.
Because your back is to the door now?
My back was to the door anyway. Right. I don't know why I'm freaked out now, but... I always, like in the middle of some of the shows, like when we first moved into this room,
right.
You didn't notice, but I was like, oh my God, somebody's coming up the stairs.
Really?
I don't know why. And I would, like, one time I was genuinely freaked out for a minute, and I was like, oh my God, thank God Keith didn't see that. You must have been reading something or something. And I was just freaked out.
And so
in my head, I was like, I got to remember to just close the door before we start the shows. And just now the door slammed from the wind, and that's why I yelled. Come on. It's alarming.
Anything traumatic happened to you when you were young that could scare you?
No. I once thought my babysitter touched me, but...
Maybe you think...
But maybe... I don't think he's coming up the stairs. We're in the same room.
Is it this room?
It is this room. Oh my God.
Interesting. We never talked about that, by the way, did we?
No, we didn't.
I would talk about it a little bit.
It's weird. See, Keith is walking on eggshells right now because when I first told him about this, he's like, his first reaction was.
It shouldn't be your first reaction.
His first reaction to me going, I think I got touched as a kid was, could we say that on the show? And I'm like, hi, I never tell this to anybody. I don't know if my best friend knows about this, but yeah, I guess so. But I don't see in my, I don't.
You're not sure if it happened.
I'm not sure it happened.
But you're pretty sure.
I don't know. I had two male babysitters when I was younger.
Oh, it happened.
And I hated them both. They were both douches.
They're about how old? You're how old?
God, I was still in this house, so it was before fourth grade. Because fourth grade, I moved out of this house. If people don't know, this is the house, like when we first moved from Israel here, I was 4 years old, and we moved to the house that I live in now. Then we moved out into the house that my parents live, and I eventually bought this house from my father.
By the way, I could not live in my parents' house, like as an adult. And we're fixing things up and moving things around, and you like it, and
it
I like it,
like
but
like it.
Yeah, I'd be like, this is the table you fucking yelled at me at. This is where you took the Encyclopedia S volume to my ass
in
multiple times.
In fourth grade? No, I
this
started
is the
having...
drawer where I had to take out the wooden spoon and give it to Mom to beat me.
That's not those kinds of memories, and I don't have as abusive memories as you do. I have way nicer memories, but it's in the other house. Like, up to fourth grade, I was oblivious, you know? It was when I had my first argument with my parents, I must have been closer to being a teenager than that.
Right.
So, no, I had nice memories here, and, you know, people who moved from... Israel and Iran and who moved to the United States, they moved to this house first because my father owned it, lived here for about a year, then moved out. So like a lot of my family moved in and out of here. It's kind of sentimental, but I will sell it when it's time. Anyway, I'm still a Jew at heart. But okay, so I'm sharing this room that we're in with two of my brothers. I don't even think my brother knows this, by the way. Right. I feel like after this show, I have to call him and warn him that I'm going to say this. Like, so... I had two male babysitters, hated them both, and one of
them... did you say how old they were?
Oh, 18-ish, like maybe college, like beginning college, 18, 19. I'm fourth grade, so what's that, 10 years old?
Okay.
Something like that. So, before fourth grade, I think.
Okay.
So, anyway, so I remember the one guy, he used to, you know, tuck us in, and he would, like, stay at my bed.
Is that weird, to tuck somebody in? Who's the babysitter to tuck you in?
Not tucking in, but you have to, you know, see the children go into their bed, you know? So I had a dream. So I had a recurring dream. It's a nightmare, actually, that he would stay at my bed and touch me in a funny place
and your pussy.
Yes. And so
in it, on it?
Just, I don't think in it, just on it, just weird, and okay. then just stop. And so, and that dream would happen every time he was over. And so one time, the last time he was over, and I didn't know it was the last time. I think it was the last time because right before my parents left the house, I started yelling and crying. And I was, because I was just like, no, I can't take it. I don't know. And they left anyway. and in my head,
just
I was
thinking
like,
you're being a brat. How does that make sense to your personality?
I don't know. I think I used to get scared of things. Like I was a sensitive kid. I don't know if I was like a fraidy cat. You know what okay. I mean? But kids cry before their parents leave. So I was crying, making a big fuss, and they left. And then I was like, that's it. Today I'm telling him to fuck off. And I'm this little kid, and I'm ready right. for it. I'm like, today I'm so telling him to fuck off. If it's a dream or not, I'm going to find out today. Like that's right. also in my head. I'm like, I don't know if this is a dream or not, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to be very aware. I was making myself conscious. And I went to bed, and it didn't happen. And I didn't have the dream, or it didn't happen, you know, in real right. life. And I never saw the guy again. So I never know if it's a dream or not a dream.
You know his name?
I forget which male babysitter it was, so I don't want to say the wrong
really?
Name. Yeah. I forget the name. I forget which guy is what name.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Do you think you can find him today?
With the internet? I could find anyone.
Find him.
I don't know. Oh, I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's real or not. Is that what children do in order to make it seem
you know
like
what
it's
you
not
do?
Real?
Here's what
you know?
Do. Here's what you do. You write him, and you'd be like, oh, I kind of remember this. That was crazy. We were kids, right? You remember this, right? Like, nice.
I know which one
like
it
the way
is.
I said about the lantern. And I'm like, that was funny because you just kicked that over, didn't you? Yes, I did.
I know which babysitter it is because I know that his parents were friends with my parents.
Right.
So I know the parents' name.
Okay.
So I could think of it. I'm not going to think of it now. I don't know, but I know who
we'll
it is.
We'll do a little detective work.
Yeah, maybe I should.
I think he'll say. I think if you say it, like it's no big deal. All kids go through this and be like, that was something, right? You
that was
did that?
Fun. That was fun for me. That's how I, you know, I don't know how to make it sound fun. Even
well, don't make it sound too fun because then he's like, yeah, sure, it was me.
Yeah, that's what I want him to say. But what I really want to do is ask my parents if they
but,
remember.
I mean, he'll say it was me even if it wasn't. Yeah, if you
oh,
liked it, sure.
Oh, okay. But I want to ask my parents if they remember me freaking out, and then if that had to do with him not coming back again.
Right.
But I don't want to freak my parents out. Like, what's the point?
What's the point?
You
right.
know, like, why would I tell? You know, it's not affecting me, you know?
Right.
I mean, if it's affecting me, it's only affecting me in a good way, because I love sex. But, you know, I managed to be fine with it, but...
But this was your bedroom that we're in now?
Yeah, I slept right where...
She hears noises in the steps and doors slamming and people scare her that she's talking to at the time. Interesting. Okay. Listen to this. In their native Sweden, the piratebay.org enjoyed a level of immunity. This is, what's that, BitTorrenting?
BitTorrenting?
Yeah, this is the most famous one. The piratebay.org enjoyed a level of immunity from copyright persecution rarely seen in the file-sharing world.
Ooh. Oh, I see. So the guy who owns BitTorrent is now getting...
I think it's like two different companies, but this is like BitTorrent okay. is the program, and this is a big file-sharing place.
Okay.
Often defiant in the face of those wishing to enforce their intellectual property rights, the PirateBay.org would go on to become one of the premier BitTorrent indexing and tracking sites. As one of the largest trackers, the PirateBay.org largely replaced the demise of the Supernova.org search engine. Supernova.org met its demise in late 2004 when it was under pressure from the entertainment industry to shut its operation down. Conversely, such pressure has been ineffective against the Pirate Bay.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about somebody touching me when I was a kid. Can you summarize that?
End it?
No, can you tell? You're going to read the rest.
Oh, you mean this?
Yeah, I was...
Oh, sure. So detectives went in and seized PirateBay.org's entire server farm.
Oh.
Pirate Bay, you'll notice, is not up now. We are not sure when it will return, but we are moving it to another country if necessary.
Oh, my God. He just said that?
Yeah.
You just gave away the plan.
So the police and detectives are figuring out, you know, what's illegal, but in the meantime, they're confiscating these people's stuff.
So does that mean that nobody can BitTorrent for a while?
I mean, there's other sites, but okay. This is a big one.
Oh, I see. Oh, you know what? I never
it's like there's other LimeWires,
so
but there's LimeWire.
Okay.
There's, you know, there's a million Napsters, but Napster got
oh, okay,
it.
Okay.
So I guess that was a big deal.
Thanks.
Right. So I hope you enjoyed BitTorrenting.
On a major site.
Right. All right, let's get to Last Comic Standing. It premiered yesterday. And then later, some other day, we're going to watch, what's that, Rescue Me is now showing.
Ooh, cool.
I'm like, you thought I didn't go out before.
And the coolest thing is you're getting email reminders from fans, right?
Yeah.
Somebody said, "Oh, Rescue Me is starting." And you're like, "Oh, that's the one that you're going to respond to right away." Thanks, I didn't know.
Right. Anthony Clark is the host, like I thought. We saw him standing in line.
Oh, okay. We're back to last comic standing.
I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. He's the skinny guy in Oh Dear,
which is a terrible sitcom.
Right. But he was a very funny comic. I remember that. Everybody that went on to the next level was famous in a way.
Well, famous in the comic world.
Right.
Or is already doing major gigs.
Regular people recognize them. And show 233, if you didn't hear it or aren't going to, I talk about how the show's bullshit. We stand in line in New York forever. When you saw Last Comic Standing last night and they show the camera showing all these people, they weren't seen.
Like, they went like this. They said, look at how the line wraps around the corner. Let us tell you why now. Mm-hmm. The line wraps around the corner because right before the camera came out, for the amount of fame that has and the amount of comics, there weren't that many comics.
500, we said last time.
Though we were waiting for a long time. We figured it would be around, you know, the block by the time we got. But it was just around the first block. So it was less than a full city block when we got there, which is very little. So what they did was, to make them look good, is they pushed us back. Mm-hmm. They made the line into like a single file, pretty much, so that we can wrap around the corner. And that's when the cameras came out. It was coincidentally right before the cameras came out, and
came out, and then the cops come out and go, they're not taking anybody else.
Right.
After they took 10, 20 people, I don't know how many.
Right.
No, we're not taking you. Right. But they used that footage.
Right.
They used the guy, you know, we recognize the guy from Surf Reality all the time, and they're like, who's your favorite comic? Anthony Clark. Good answer. That guy didn't make it in. Yeah, now all his friends see him and go like, I guess you failed. No, I didn't.
Yeah, they interviewed the guy who was almost last in line. He never auditioned. And here he is, you know, waiting online, and they use the footage.
And everybody, you know, shows their face. I was too cold to show my face, but everybody shows their face because they think, I'm going to be on camera, and that's going to be it.
Right, yeah. You know? Someone's going to recognize me next time I'm on stage.
Right. And so now, yeah, we saw your face. I guess you failed. Mm-hmm. How'd it go? They are being used. And, well, before we get to the New York ones, I'm watching the show, and it starts, I believe, with L.A., and there's Bill Dwyer, who has a half-hour show on Comedy Central. Doug Benson, who has a half-hour show, wrote the marijuana logs, is on VH1's Best Week Ever. There's Theo Vaughn. He was in MTV and Road Rules. You know all these people have agents, and they didn't. Like, when we were in New York, we found out the people with agents came the next day.
Right, and those they had appointments. They didn't wait in line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bill Dwyer is on there and says and starts saying, you know how, like, his joke was doing morning radio. I'm like, oh, I don't think all these amateur competitions... All these contestants know about morning radio, but go tell your joke. Yeah, and it's always two guys with crazy names and a girl. Like, this is Mad Dog and Buck Wild and Brenda. And they go, very good. We'll see you tonight.
Yeah, That was so incredible.
Right.
And it was so funny because you can almost see on their face like, oh, God damn. Yeah. We got to pick this guy. And this is like, it's almost like they were like, couldn't you just come up with some kind of other material to make us look good that we're making you pass?
Right.
You could see, like, on some. I mean, a lot of these comics are actually really
funny.
It's
the two faggots from earlier. Yeah. The people that pick for Jay Leno, by the way. And the skinny faggot that loves everything. And the fat faggot that sees the mean. He's the mean one. The little one loves everything. He's like, I think that was great. What do you think? No. Okay, no.
Get the hell out of here.
His line. Get the hell out of here and get the hell off my stage. He wants that to be his catchphrase.
Yeah, and it's not catchy, though.
Yeah, get the hell off my stage. And the fat guy always picks on people.
But
for
like
no reason.
Mean.
Like mean. For no reason. He's one of those bitter ones.
Every time we say that, I feel like people are going, you guys pick on everybody.
Right.
And we're picking on this guy now. But we don't just go, yeah, you're fat.
Yeah. That's what this fat fuck does. And he goes, some girl goes, like, how long have you been doing it? Like, 20 years. I'm an old broad. You're a broad?
Yeah,
what is the point of that? This dude comes in, he ends up getting passed or whatever, but he has a big head or a weird head. And the first thing this fat fuck bobblehead fuck says is, wow, you got a big head, but feel comfortable and make me laugh. What was the point of that?
Because he wants to be Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. He wants to be the mean guy, and he's just I don't know. At least Simon says that was god awful, right. And you are out of tune and ew.
Right.
This guy just goes, get the hell out
this,
of here.
This guy
not
just says the
enthusiasm.
Ooh part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say a line like, get the hell off my stage. You got to mean it.
Yeah.
Some comic goes up there, goes, remember this? I have an imaginary friend. He was an alcoholic. We called him Dad.
I thought that was kind of funny.
My dad wanted me to follow into his footsteps. He died in quicksand. The skinny faggot goes, you are a comedy genius.
Okay, it wasn't comedy genius.
Now that
though.
Is gold. Prior Carlin, this guy. You know what they should do? You said this. Hemda goes, you know what? Whenever they pass the next person, they just should go, congratulations, sold. They should be. I picture them counting their money and then looking up, go, okay, it's all here. We'll see you tonight. It's management and it's shady. So getting to New York, here's the people that move on or the people we see. Brody Stevens.
Who I know from Surf Reality.
We recognize him. Modi, regular comedy seller. We know him.
I actually think Modi is quite funny.
Buck Starr from... Buckstar? Why did I write Buckstar?
The Buckstar Show.
Oh, Buckstar, the Buckstar Show. That's just... Okay, here's my point. Brody Stevens, Modi, Buckstar, Buckstar, and
Joey
the Buckstar
Gay.
Show. Joey Gay, who opened for my first DVD, and Josh Blue is the guy with cerebral palsy that's a regular on...
The Mind of Mencia.
The Mind of Mencia that does the do-do-do, right? Very funny. None of these people were in line when I was in line in New York.
We would have noticed these
we
people.
We would have noticed...
We would have noticed Joey Gay, who opened up for your first CD.
Right.
Mind you, by the way, that's a list of pretty funny people.
Correct.
I think the New York people are hilarious.
Right.
That list is very, very good. We're not dissing the comedians. You know, by all means, if Keith had an agent and he got to go the next day to his audition, what he'd go. I mean, right?
Maybe.
But
yeah.
You wouldn't go? It's still
now
exposure.
That I know it's fake, but I probably would. Probably would. But don't act like it's... But I would admit on the show, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody doesn't have that luxury.
Right.
But I would admit on the show that, you know, my manager has an appointment with me. So I'm hoping...
But that's what I'm saying. It's not the comedian's fault. They're just doing what... Right. You know, they're just helping out their career. But it's just the shadiness about Last
the whole
Comic
contest,
Standing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You knew... Like, you would have Doug Benson, for example, from VH1 go on. And you're like, you're fucking in. And it doesn't matter what you say. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I heard a screeching outside. We live right by the highway,
she
and I
jumped.
Got a little scared.
She jumped.
They're so
screeching
what?
All the time.
Yeah, but it sometimes it ends with
my
an actual
a nervous
smush.
Wreck. You
it
know
ends with a smush. Do you know what I noticed, by the way, when I was in France and when I was in California, just outside my element, certain people made me quite nervous. I don't know why. I was like in weird places sometimes, like by my brother's house.
How do you make it in New York, by the way?
That's what
just
I'm saying. No,
the
this is my point. No.
Things. Everywhere. Excuse me. Do you have the...
Nobody says, excuse me, do you have that?
Right,
and
right.
I would get nervous if they did that.
Pardon me, but...
No, wait. Let me get my point out. So... I think I said this when we were in California. I was walking back to my brother's house because we stayed at Michael's place. And this guy actually thought he was going to punch me in the face or something. And I was getting ready and I physically got nervous. And turns out it was fine. But here I noticed in New York, I passed the shadiest motherfuckers. And I'm like, whatever. Because here I can tell who's not really a thug. I can tell when it's not really,
right.
You know, any... Whatever, but I'm picturing, you know, somebody coming from outside, and I'm picturing they would be scared shitless, and I never really noticed that. Like, I'm passing people who supposedly you would think, you know, and I'm not talking about the color of their skin. I'm talking about the way people dress sometimes, and you know what? It's so funny because people want to not be judged by the way they dress, but there's a certain way that you dress to try to look
of
intimidating.
Course.
But when you get older, it's like, well, you know, you can tell that that person is not intimidating. He's just wearing those clothes or
right.
He's just, you know, trying to make that hard face or trying to, you know, wear all black or wear this or baggy pants or whatever. So, but I think, you know, when you're outside of your element, you don't know.
I get you.
You know, so I'm not scared in New York.
Are there French thugs?
Do
they have cornrows?
No, you know what was cool? French rap. And I couldn't tell if it was bad or not because I'm so... Because
I don't know if that's how they talk?
No, because I couldn't listen to the actual music itself. I'm just like, that's French and they're rapping. And that's all that was going in my head. Like, you know, just the fact that they're rapping in French, it just sounded so different. No, I was scared in France. Like, I remember going to the phone booth booth to make a phone call by the...
This is Hemda, the girl that's scared all the time, okay?
I'm not scared all the time.
Right, okay. Jumps all the time, but was willing to do a show in a phone booth on the street with her laptop open. Headphones on her head. That doesn't say, fucking rape me and kill me and send my body parts to my babysitter.
They'll find me. Well, no, the neighborhood was totally nice. This is
listen
the thing.
To
it was
this.
The same. No,
listen
okay, listen. So it was by the road manager's home, right. And it was a beautiful neighborhood, like the nicest neighborhood you can possibly be in. But it was so silent, and I had to go around the corner to go to the phone booth. It was like a little walk, not so far. But the quietness and the fact that I didn't know where I was like, somebody can just come out of nowhere. I don't
sure.
like the quietness. It's like
but
when,
you still
when I was in
to do
Somerset, it was so quiet. It
right.
scared the life out of me. So my walk to the phone booth every time, I was like just constantly looking around because I don't like places like that where you can just jump out of nowhere and everyone assumes that the neighborhood is nice. And that's the perfect reason to jump out of nowhere because everyone is just like, whatever, we're okay, you know?
You called me sometimes from a phone booth, didn't you? And I'd be like, where are you calling now? Is yeah. that true? From your computer with headphones on?
Only one time. Only one okay. time. Only one time.
It made me mad. If somebody, if you're looking at a computer, a laptop, with our...
It was in the middle of the night.
With our big, bulky, you know, studio quality headphones on, and somebody knifes you and steals your money, they should be able to go to court and go, yeah, I think this is entrapment.
But there was also a place where I was where the hotel just seemed to be in a really crappy neighborhood, and the walk down to the phone booth, I was ready with my keys in my
right.
between my knuckles. I was actually ready.
Well, I know we talked about this before, like, you know, thinking it through, like, a guy will come, I will stab this
that's
in
right.
his eye.
And I will be ready, because right. I'd rather be ready.
I do that. You know what? It's not even violence. I guess it ends in violence, but I think about this stuff all the time. Last time you and me were at the grocery store, and I'm doing a cart, and some old lady almost hits me,
you
know, with her cart. No. Continues go, but it starts slow, and then I'm like, what if that happens again? And she has an attitude. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start ramming her fucking cart and go, shut up. And then I'm going to continue shopping, and then she's going to come up behind me and go, excuse me. And then what will I do? I'll probably take all these oranges, and I make this whole story together.
Yep.
And like you could see I'm quiet. I'm like, oh, and that doesn't ask me what I'm thinking.
Because you're going to have
right
to tell
now, me. Right now, I'm taking rotisserie chicken and throwing it over her face. That's what I'm doing right now.
I'm thinking, let's play rotisserie chicken bowling ball old lady fun.
And then you're like, how does that make sense? Well, in my head, half hour ago, I'll explain how I'm right.
I'll explain when the mics are on. Don't worry.
Look at this picture.
Are you done with the last comic standing thing?
Oh, no. I'm going to root for Joey Gay. I'm going to
yeah.
assume, and I've said this before, too, you know, in that other show, that when it gets further into the, I don't even think we're there yet, but when it gets further into the contest, that's when it's legit, maybe. And that's when, you know, the phone calls and this
voting.
And that. When people start voting, maybe.
I wonder
but
about
now,
that.
It is not legit now. And I never had a chance. And that's
no, you never had a chance. Absolutely not. But I wonder if all those call-in shows, including American Idol, are actually true. Although American Idol, you know, especially with this last one, they didn't pick the pretty girl, which, you know, I guess is a more marketable thing. Also,
right.
if you let the audience pick, you now know which audience wants to see this comedian and which act and whatever. Right. So I guess it does make sense for them to follow, you know, the audience right. vote. So that might be legitimate.
And not to take anything away from her, she's good, you know. Kelly Clarkson's album comes out pretty fast. You learn that she had management. You learn that it had something to do with American
oh, really?
Idol. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I read or heard or something.
Oh, boo.
Oh, well.
But I like her.
Yeah, good for her. anyway, I was showing her Hemda a picture of the new Batwoman.
Okay, she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cartoon, but I do it.
They make it sexier and sexier, these fucking cartoons.
Actually, no, some of the old shit with those big, gigantic boobs and long-ass legs when they used to draw cartoons.
Yes, yeah.
It was always like, what
Well, now
the
they're
fuck?
Making it more realistic, and that's why it's even hotter. Yeah, these perverts. You're into anime perverts because it's fucking sick shit. It's an octopus fucking a woman.
Have you ever seen Japanime?
Yeah, my brother was into
porn. I think we talked about this. It is
I know I've seen
sick.
It. I know I've seen it. It's the sickest shit.
Sick. It made me horny. No big deal. It's cartoons. I'm okay.
Holy coming out of the closet, Batman. Man. The newest incarnation of Batwoman, a rarely seen DC Comics character, will be a lesbian. And her new sexual orientation has provoked heated debate among faithful comic book readers. Don't worry, I think she'll be accepted just fine.
No, why would you change? No, there's no way geeks will be fine with this.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
These perverts that kind of get off on, you know, Mystique and the X-Men, and I jerk off to Jean Grey.
That's fine, but they also get off, I think they get off a little bit more
on the
authentic. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
It amps it up a little bit, said Ron Hill, 37, manager of Jimmy Hanley's Universe.
That just means that the story's going to be worse. If that's what you're relying on to amp it up, come on.
They've long abandoned things aimed at eight-year-olds. The decision to turn Kathy Kane...
The authenticity has been ruined and compromised.
Batwoman's alter ego into a buxom 5'10" lesbian socialite was reached as part of DC Comics' push to diversify its characters. Right. Or to sell comics.
Diversify.
Yeah, you didn't make a gay dude. DC Comics pushed to diversify its characters and reinvigorate its decade-old comic book franchise. We want to look at the world around us and strike a more contemporary tone.
They're very deep. Yeah, very deep.
Said Don Dido, DC's vice president and executive editor, whose new weekly 52 series will also feature more Black and Latino characters. We deal with stories about identities and secret identities, says Dido. And we think that a character who is openly gay, yet keeps it a secret from certain members of her own family, has a lot of strong emotional layers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, can't wait for that fucking comic book kiss. Batwoman is introduced in 1956 as a member of the Bat family that at times has included Batgirl and a Bat Hound, but she was unceremoniously killed off in 1979. Do you have to bring her back somehow then?
No.
Which isn't hard in the comic book world. So make her...
It's like in the soap opera world.
Right.
They make some sort of brother or twin. Or
she'll make her return in July, but her sexual orientation has already provoked some grumbling on internet message boards and in comic book shops. Quote, some of these characters are institutions, said Mark Butcher, 40, of the Bronx, a self-described comic book fanatic. Don't do it just to be politically correct. It's all about shock value. Of course it is. But others seem to embrace the change as a reflection of the times and an opportunity for interesting stories. That's her sexuality, said Jimmy Palmoidi, 44, from Brooklyn.
That's just her sexuality. What do you want?
Right. Who has illustrated for Marvel and DC Comics? Okay. I think that's totally unbiased. Unless she has lesbian superpowers, she really doesn't change her character except the soap opera value.
I think there is some kind of superpower in being a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah. She can move everything very, very fast. Batwoman with her new vibrating powers. With a new man-hating vibrating powers.
There'll be a lot of, like, subtle things like that. Like her new, you know, because she's got gadgets just like Batman, right? So her new gadgets will be a little more...
Yeah, guess what's in her utility belt? You know, somebody's on fire and she's just taking dildo and fist. And then she's like, I got nothing there. I got nothing. Call the Bat Hound. You have more luck with him.
I hear he has a butt plug.
Speaking of DVDs, I'm going to Matt's house right after the show, and we're going to hopefully finish the new DVD.
Nice.
It won't be ready so soon because, you know, we still have to put a bonus whatever and some artwork, but...
I heard it was really good. I haven't had a chance to see it, but we'll be putting that out soon.
And I'm taking the subway, and you told me that...
Oh, I took the subway yesterday to my job.
So it's not 9 to 5 or whatever? It's not supposed to be bad going from Queens to Manhattan?
I love the subway system here. I think it's the most incredible thing. And sometimes, you know, because most of the time we drive and then, you know, we get the opportunity because we have to take the train. And I'm like, you know what? I miss the train. You know, right. I kind of like it.
The train is fun once in a blue moon, like Burger King.
If you don't have to go to work every day, the train's all right.
Yeah.
You know, it runs generally on time unless you're going in the middle of the night or
then
weekend.
Then I make no sense. And I've been there.
Yeah.
It is. You want to kill. Working when I worked at, you know, restaurants right next door, it was amazing when you're done with work, you're really done.
When you're right next door to your
exactly.
home.
But also to not have to take a subway.
Commutes are the worst. It's just that you have to commute. The commute sucks. But
at the same time, I liked when I worked nights at a restaurant, you know, the majority of restaurants, and you'd get on the subway at like maybe you'd get at you know, six or seven. And you
it's right after
and,
the
right,
the
and
meeting.
There's only a couple people on, and you tell yourself you're going to a party. But when you're there with everybody fucking hating their lives, crowded, that's how you start your day.
Yeah.
Jam-packed with 300 people per car, despising where they're going, and you could just feel the energy. Of course you
terrible.
Hate it. Then the day's finally
there's no
over.
No other feeling like that.
Right.
There is no other feeling like that. And that's like, you know, you get a new job, and you know how we said the first, you know, couple days, you're like, hey, I'm in a new job, we're doing new things, blah, blah, blah. And then you start hating your job,
mm-hmm.
you right away hate your commute.
Correct.
There's no getting used to that commute because, okay, so I finished, I had a job that ended at 5 o'clock and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Right.
As soon as it ended, I'm like, and then, you know,
Sometimes I used to just like find a movie. I'd find a movie.
I thought of that, but I had to get home and do shit. You know?
I'm like, I can find a movie. I can jerk off in the jerk off booth place. You know, it should be better by then.
I thought of staying in Manhattan and just going to my rehearsal, but then you know, it's late at night after I get out of my rehearsal, and it's either 20 minutes by car to get back home or over an hour to get back home. So I chose to get on the train. Now, there are two options to get to our house. You can either take the local train, which adds 8 stops to your commute home, and that's a lot, or you can take the express. Which, you know, once you get into Queens is just like, you know, 4 stops. So it's either 12 stops or 4 stops, something like that. I chose to get on the local train because I'm like, you know, I'm not in such a huge hurry. And look at all these empty seats because nobody wants to take the local train. I get in. I'm right behind this huge guy. And he stops, blocking me from the rest of the seats that are open, looking at a seat going, what's on that seat? Can I sit on it? I'm like, and I'm staring at him. I'm hoping he can look at me because I am physically giving him the finger through my face.
You could tell.
Do you know what I mean?
You could tell.
I am looking at him like, what in the fuck? I just got on this local train. I added 8 stops to my little commute here. I got shit that I'm carrying. And you're standing there debating on a seat that's totally fine. Now, in New York, you do have to debate about some seats.
Right.
But there are more right in front of you that you're not only blocking yourself from, you're blocking me. I feel like shoving him out of the way. I'm watching all the seats getting taken up.
That's
about to cry. And all of a sudden, I'm standing on a local train adding time to my commute.
Right.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
And usually, it's what do you call them when they're from another area? Tourists. And you could tell because they're just...
I don't know that this guy was a tourist.
Was he older? Like, was he too old?
He wasn't too old. No,
okay.
it was something he needed to be pushed.
Right. You just want to push these people because
I feel
you
like could I was have justified.
You could have got a seat, and they just him and haw, and they're in front of you.
And
look at all these seats being filled up.
And it's done in 5 seconds because as soon as you get on, you know, you see everybody get on, move their head to the right, move their head to the left, debate on whether they have to take the shit seat or they can make it to the good seat, and they just take the shit seat because you got to go, go, go.
By the way, remember that sissy that we were talking about at the... Faggot, come on. That we were talking about at the...
the barbecue?
At the barbecue.
Yeah.
What were you doing? You were getting something to help everybody, I remember. You know, a food item or something.
I'm a helper.
So then you're going to go back to get your seat, and it's fine. You got off your seat, then you lose your seat. That's fine. But this guy, the faggot, was finishing a piss. He sees you're coming back, deliberately speeds up to take your seat and acts like he didn't see you.
Oh, I saw that,
We see everything scumbags do, and it goes back to people not paying their check, kind of.
Yeah.
We know you didn't pay your check. We know everything. We're adults now, and we see everything, and nobody's getting away with nothing.
That's true. I want you
all to know that you're not getting away with anything. Everybody sees everything.
And we know you pick your nose in your car.
Right.
But one time I did get up to like put somebody's chicken on, and he took my seat, and I actually looked at him and said, really? Did you really want chicken that bad? No, it's okay. I'll make you chicken. Would you like another piece of chicken? And he got up, and I was like, oh, shit. And I kind of felt bad, and then I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm in the seat.
Now, they're allowed to sit in seats now, right?
What?
Sissies?
All right.
I don't know where
you just want to push it.
Right.
So now I'm on the train. After a few stops, I get a seat because, you know, like, it's not full anyway. It's just that everybody took seats. So I'm sitting down. Finally get to, you know, drink. No, I drank most of my soup because I had to stand eating the soup, whatever. And now I'm sitting down, and a blind guy comes into the train, and I'm like, oh, shit, a blind guy, cool. You know, I don't know why. You know, he's got the stick going on. The eyes kind of rolled to the back of his head. Right. Clearly blind. Has his hand out, like, because he knows he's getting on the train. He knows where the bar is to hold. So he's aiming for the bar, hand completely out. And there's a woman that he could be about to grab. And he's titty height, right? She doesn't move out of his way. Everyone sees the blind guy coming. He's coming straight towards her because he needs to grab the bar in front of her. You could see she's debating, like, is he going to touch me? Is he not? He ends up touching her.
He just grabs it like a doorknob?
No. I mean, like, you know, she
knows.
He's actually not even blind. But no, she kind of...
That giggle gave it away.
She kind of steps out of the way a little bit so that he hits her arm or something, you know? Mm-hmm. But basically, you know, he hit her. You know, not hit her, but... And he says he's sorry. And I'm like, mother... She should say she's sorry to you.
Right.
She saw you coming. Get out of the way for a second. He's not going to take your stand-up position, you know? You're not even sitting down, you jackass.
She's happy she has the bar.
No, she doesn't have anything. She's leaning against the door. Oh. She just refuses to get out of the way. So I just feel bad. Like, he's blind.
Okay. I want to help all these blind people out.
Me too.
You know they don't want your help.
Exactly. So, you know, he's got the stick. He knows what he's doing. He knows the layout of the train, clearly. So then he sits down. He ends up sitting right next to me, and somebody points out
it's
to
hard.
Him.
I'm sorry. Because it's hard to tell, I think. Because you have the blind ones that would like help.
Right.
And
somebody wants help.
And then you have blind ones that don't.
Yeah. Somebody once asked me to help him across the street.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe sometimes they want help. I guess you got to wait until they ask, you know?
Right.
So he sits next to me and somebody points out that his shoelace is untied. And I'm like, oh, your shoelace is untied. Do you want me to tie it for you? And I just realized I called a blind man a retard.
That's one thing they can do.
I'm like, well, I guess if I shut my eyes, I can fucking tie my shoelace. Asshole. And I think I've seen the same blind guy before. So he's been blind for some time now. So he's like, no. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, fuck, I'm an asshole. And then I'm curious, how's he going to tie a shoelace? I know I can tie my shoelace with my
asshole. And is he not tying it right now out of principle?
It took him a couple of seconds. How did you know that?
I picked it because then it's like, no, I'm doing it because you said, I love doing this to Hamda. Like, she'll leave a room and I know she's going to close the door out of habit. Maybe I'm sleeping or something. And right before she does, I go, and close the door. But at the same time that it's while she's closing it. And you're mad because it looks like
mad.
I told you what to do. Put that plate right down there. Good girl. So that's kind of what you did to the blind person. He's like, I was just going to tie it. God damn it. Now I can't tie it.
So then he's tying it, and I'm sitting there. He's sitting right next to me. I'm sitting there looking straight forward, and from the corner of my eye, I'm trying to get peeks at him trying to tie a shoelace. And then I go, wait a minute, he's blind. I could just stare at him.
Right.
And now I'm staring at him, and then I go, what if he can feel that? Yeah. And then I just faced forward the whole time.
That'd be great if you could feel it.
I think he has superpowers like the new Catwoman lesbian powers.
Is he wearing sunglasses or not?
I think, because I know I saw his eyes, but I think he did wear sunglasses, maybe took it off for a second or something.
That'd be great if he has them on, then take them off in your direction, go, what?
And he's still blind, he's just fucking with me because he could feel
it. He could tell.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, you go into a room, you could tell somebody's hiding behind the door, you know, the majority of times, you could feel.
No, not me, I'll just scream.
Not you, of course. So maybe it makes sense when you see a movie and you got two people hiding behind the door and nobody knows. It's like, you can't feel that energy, but Hemda can't.
No, maybe not behind the door, but it's true that if you're laying down and your eyes are closed and you're sleeping, if somebody stands right next to the bed and stares down at you, you're going to wake up. Like, that's the weirdest thing, I think.
Right.
Behind the door, I think maybe you heard something or something like that. That's not really energy, but if somebody's standing over you, I think there's something there.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe your babysitter touching you.
Baby!
Maybe. I think something happened, by the way.
I know you do. I know you do, and I know on the forums they're going to say that too.
Of course.
What am I can't
you know
remember
what we're
for real,
do.
Though.
You know what we're going to do.
We're going to find the name. Keith, for the rest of tonight, is going to go, does it rhyme with smadam? Does it rhyme with Pikel?
Yeah, we'll find him. And it'll be a nice surprise. So we'll argue that. Isn't there a statute of limitations?
There shouldn't be. There is on rape, I think.
What?
You can't. I just Kendall decide.
The lawyer.
I love how I just decide things on the show out of my ignorance.
There's at least
I make up law.
Right. Go.
But it'll be on the forums.
Right.
Because there's one of everybody on our forums. There's one of everybody on our forums and a spooky.
Mm-hmm. You're right. All right. Thank you guys so much. KeithandTheGirl.com/store. Buy our shit. Buy over $50. Get our secret sticker. /donate. Don't let the child molester be the only one. And
check out our forums. And don't forget, this Friday is the poker tournament, mm-hmm. where you get to apparently take.
Oh, whoa, we're done.
KeithandTheGirl.com.
I like watching reality TV shows when I'm baked. And my favorite one is The Real World on MTV. Because season after season, the participants on that show fail to recognize that they're getting a free ride. You know, they get 5 months, all expenses paid, in a beautiful house. If I could get on that show, I wouldn't argue with my roommates. I wouldn't make any trouble. I would just sit by the pool all diggity day long, sucking on a giant bong. Because they're not allowed to show drug use on MTV. And they would fuzz out the bong, and then no one watching the program would know what I was doing. Because I'd sit there going, man, I love to play my clarinet. Someday when I get good, it'll make notes instead of the bubbling sounds that emit from it at this time. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to practice some more a lot. And there's never going to be a stoner on that Donald Trump show, The Apprentice. Which is a shame, because that'd be so cool. Because a stoner would just be like, no, dude, you're fired.
Here's a marijuana fun fact.
Fun fact.
If you had enough marijuana that you could build a house with it, that would be so awesome! That's a fact. Because you'd be like, dude, pack a doorknob. Roll up that fucking hallway. What are you waiting for? The rooms will just be closer together. As an official marijuana logger, I never smoke pot and drive my car. For one thing, no matter how many letters I write to the road commissions, they still refuse to start designing highways with second chance exits. Okay, I'm not asking for a whole lot. Say you had one exit, it says the Bronx. All I'm saying is throwing another one for me half a mile down the road. And make the second one more obvious. If it's the same one, I'll miss it again. You know, spice it up instead of just the Bronx. Maybe, hey, fucking hello, the Bronx. Then I'll be like, all right, take it easy, sign. I'm coming. You don't gotta be a dick. I don't even know if I want to go to the Bronx anymore. If you're gonna act like that. I also get paranoid, though. And I think if I'm high and I'm driving, I think any vehicle that looks even slightly authoritative are la policia, coming to take my ass away. Last time I smoked pot and drove a car, I ended up getting pulled over by a street cleaner. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, man, we're in deep shit, man. That's got to be like the chief or something. Well, only the chief would have a big old spinning abrasive wheel sticking out of his car. That's a sign of authority. I don't know. Maybe that's why they call it a brush with the law. Well, I don't know what he's doing, man. He's probably combing the neighborhood, I'll tell you that right now. Here's an unfun fact. Did you know that a substantial amount of anti-marijuana campaign funding comes from alcohol companies? You see, alcohol companies are afraid that if you smoke pot, you won't want to drink. After all, how many times have you witnessed the following scenario?
Hey, Doug, you want a beer?
No thanks, Tony. I just got high.
I didn't know.
Yeah, we've all seen that a million times. In an effort to combat these anti-marijuana concerns, we of the Marijuana Logs pledged that over 80% of the proceeds from this show will go towards marijuana.
special by myself.